Join us for Sunday worship service with Faith Temple NCOG in Warsaw, Virginia. Our pastor is Bishop Forrest Nance Jr. Join us on Zoom every Sunday at 11 a.m. Listen on the go on your favorite streaming platforms, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, YouTube, Anchor, Overcast, Spreaker, Good Pods, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Podbean, CastBox, Podyssey, and many more. Online giving through Giverify.com. Type in Faith Temple NCOG to donate. Like and subscribe to our Facebook, Instagram, Thread, and Twitter pages at FTNCOG and our YouTube page at youtube.com/@FTNCOG. For more information about Faith Temple National Fellowship Churches of God, you can visit our website at www.ftncog.org.
Praise God. Amen. We truly thank God for the day. Amen. We truly give God all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Saying we owe him our lives. Yes. Amen. Because I'm telling you, that's how sitting there listening to the song about he's on time, God. Yeah. And they say, well, you can ask the children of Israel. You can ask the people that was in the that he performed a miracle on, by feeding them with two fishes and five loaves of bread. And it just hit my spirit. You can ask me when I had the stroke. I'm a witness. He's an on-time God. Hallelujah. Could have came before I had the stroke, but he had to come after I had the stroke. So he's an on-time God. Hallelujah. He healed my body. Hallelujah. And what he do for one, he do for all. Hallelujah. I just am happy this morning. I'm in my soul, my spirit. Hallelujah. There's so many songs running through that I'm just appreciative of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to bring up Elder Wright. Y'all more, everybody know him by now. Amen. Our assistant pastor. Amen. Amen. A man that, hallelujah, has proven himself to be faithful to God. And they want God to use him. Amen. He's, hallelujah, has traveled all the way from Norfolk to change his home residence to Warsaw, Virginia. Hallelujah. Something he thought he would never do, live in Warsaw, coming from the big city, Norfolk. Hallelujah. But he said, God led him to come this way. And we are thankful that he came this way to help us. Amen. Also, hallelujah. So without any further ado, I give you Elder Wright. Hallelujah. Lanzeth Wright. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I'm trying to think of a song in my head. But there's a God kind of pushing me out. It's hesitating, but there's a song that I wrote. I said this year. And then it simply goes, he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. You can say it. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Simple song. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Sing it one more time.
Yes.
He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Let's sing that part again. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Keep on singing that part. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. That was a simple song. I was at work, and I was just thinking about God. And I was sitting at the desk waiting for my runs, and I just started humming that in my spirit. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. So I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Hallelujah. Probably be sad. I should have sung that song, but now. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. Do you believe that? He's worthy of all. No matter what's going on in your life, he's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of all. He's worthy of all. Thank you, Father. He's worthy of all. Oh, he's worthy of all. Let me give you glory. Give you glory. God has been working on me this year in a unique way. Started in the end of December, and he finally told me, you keep holding back on certain things, and I want you to go ahead and do your album. I'm like, okay. So I had songs that I wrote years ago, and he was giving me tunes for them, but from between January and now, he have given me five songs, allowed me to write five songs just this year.
All right.
And that's getting into in worship with God, and getting to the point that God working me that I can't hold back anymore.
All right.
Not just in singing and ministry and other things, that I get to a point that, you know, I want to get fearful and say that I can't do it, or what people gonna think about if I do this, or I don't sound as good as some other people when they sing, or I might not play as well as some other people. You know, and everything that the enemy wants to speak in your mind and tell you that you're
That's
not
right.
good enough.
Yeah, right.
But if God says, do it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because he has people for you. He has that word and sound for you. So, didn't realize until now how this is going to go into the message. But if you turn into your Bibles, to the book of Luke, and then I got some reading to do on today, but we're going to start at the first verse, and we're going to skip along, but hopefully I'll be able to put everything together.
Sure.
But Luke, the 22nd chapter, I'm gonna read on my tablet that I made it a little bit bigger. I left my big word Bible here, but I still want it a little bit bigger. But Luke, the 22nd chapter. Now I'm gonna try to put it all together. Give a chance to find it.
22nd?
Yes, starting at the first verse. Just waiting on it. Make sure he has it.
Lance, oh, that was 20, Luke 27.
22nd, 2-2.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 20, starting at the first verse. And it says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And when he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how they might betray him unto them, verse 5, it says, and they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Skip down to verse 14, just in case you have to turn the page. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with our desire, have desire to eat this Passover. I'm sorry, this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until I be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Skip down to verse 39, Brian. It was a lot of reading today, but I apologize, but we get to the point. Let's get, yeah, turn the page. Verse 39, it says, and he came out and went as he walked to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also with him. And when he has, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thou be done. And verse 43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Father God, we bless you, we magnify you, and we glorify you, because you're truly worthy of all. So I say hallelujah, hallelujah, because you're worthy of all. Father, I submit myself unto you, Father, for this is your word that you speak through us, through your people, Father, that our ears and our hearts be open to what you have called us to do, Father. Oh God, I glorify you and I magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The title or thing, if you will, it says, you have to do what you don't want to do. You have to do what you don't want to do. You, a little synopsis of this from the Jesus side is, he, it was Passover time. That's almost like it is almost now. And they was getting, the disciples were physically getting ready for Passover. But Jesus was preparing for his death. And he knew what he had to do. If we see in the beginning of the chapter, Judas Iscariot had already talked to the chief priests and all of that to set him up and to prepare to arrest him, because they wanted to kill him around during this time. But they didn't want to do it around the people because they thought they were going to start a riot. So they were trying to find out how can we secretly snatch him up and take them without anybody else knowing. And Judas, the Bible said that the Satan entered into his heart. And he went and he got with them and prepared to set them up to get him arrested. Through all of that, Jesus was still doing what he needed to do. And he asked them to go ahead and set up the Passover and get the Passover ready. And even after that, when they came together to sit at the Passover, Judas was there, knowing that he already had set him up.
All right.
He came and sat at the table and ate like nothing happened. But Jesus knew what was already going to happen.
Yes.
So afterwards, And like I said, this is a long chapter, and you can go back and read it. Afterwards, he did the communion, which we would do today, and I didn't realize that this was going to all tie in today, but it did. He told them that I'm not going to eat with y'all again until this had been completed. They didn't understand. Jesus had been telling them about his death for a long time, but they didn't have an understanding. They thought he was just talking about certain little thing, and they were just getting, you know how we are in church service. We just come to church because it's a routine. It was Passover time, so you know it's time to eat. Communion Sunday, it's time to put on our white. Well, I don't want to say time to eat in a sense, but you know, it was time to have a feast. You know, on Communion Sunday, becoming, you wear white and become the servant because it's Sunday. So in their mindset, that's what was going on. But Jesus was saying there was something that I had to do. So he afterwards, he went to the garden or the Mount of Olives to pray. And even in that, he asked God a question. He said, if you can, I'm going to paraphrase it, take this cup from me. Mm-hmm. I want you to take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will. Thy will be done. So when he was praying, that God let him know that this cup is not going to pass. And God was dealing with me in the sense that we have to do what we don't want to do. When it comes to God's will, not doing what we want to do, because we have in our minds, in our hearts, in our desires, certain things that we want to do, even though we are believers, we feel like there's certain things we don't supposed to go through. There's certain things that we don't supposed to feel, and there's certain habits and things that go on in church, things that we don't supposed to go through because we are believers, but God was setting us up for a victory. God is setting us up for a victory. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be before you long. I don't know if I'm going to be before you short. All I know, I'm going to be before you until God says so. So there's a couple of things I want to try to break this down so we can get an understanding. And the first one is Jesus knew. He knew what God had called him to do. He knew what God placed on his heart to do. His whole thing was to come and die and rise again for our sins. And it was funny because while I was in the middle of preparing this lesson yesterday, and I was already read the scripture, I got a knock at the door. And when I went to check my door, Jehovah's Witness came to my house. And the lady was talking. And she gave me a flyer. And I really didn't say too much to her. But their whole focus was on they calling the memorial of Jesus' death. And the whole time she was talking to me, she focused more on the death than the resurrection. Mm. And I wanted to say out loud, yes, the death was necessary. Yes. But anybody can die. Anybody can die. But it was the resurrection of life with the power over death that was the most part in this little thing. They do say a little bit about the resurrection, but they said that this, but when they talked about the resurrection, they said, this weekend we will shortly, before the memorial of the death, speak a little discussion about the resurrection. A little discussion about it, but their whole focus on this week is just about the death. And basically they said, because Luke 22:19 says, do this in remembrance of me. And I want to tell them, that's what all you got out of this, Jehovah's Witness, is just the death. That's all they're worried about was just the death. But if Jesus would just die, I wouldn't be standing here right now. Mm-hmm. If he would just die, you wouldn't be standing here or you wouldn't be watching me right now, it was more than just the death, because the death took on our sins. The death took on our wrong. And that was our punishment that he took on us. But the rising again was power only he could do. So he knew what God wanted him to do. He went there before a purpose. He went there for a purpose. He went where he can meet God. Now, verse 39, God showed me something in verse 39. It says, and he went out and went as he walked, and I underlined walked, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And I underlined walk because God told me to look up that word, what walk means. And it means customary behavior in a particular situation. It's a habit of doing something or becoming a custom or a custom behavior. So Jesus had a custom behavior of going to the mount to pray. One thing we must learn when God is telling us to do something is that we have to have a custom to stay in communication with him, have a custom of understanding what God is wanting us to do. He had a custom of going before God. Even though he knew what God wanted him to do, he still, because of the flesh part, the man side of him, because you know that rises up, the man side of him, didn't want to go through it. The spiritual part of him was already okay. But it was the man part of him that he wanted to go and ask God. So verse 42 says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Will, one thing, is the thing, the one thing that we desire, the things that we desire, the things that we want to do. He and his man side of him did not want to go through this, but he had to go through it. We understand that we wrestle with what we want to do and with what God wants to do. He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will. We have to come to a point in our lives that we have to say, not my will. Bishop told you earlier, before I came up, that he left Norfolk and came to Warsaw. It was not my will to be here in Warsaw. It was not my will to be in Richmond County. That was not my will. But nevertheless, because God said, what I have for you is in Warsaw, I had to root up myself and change my location to come here. It wasn't my will. And when I was writing this down, the Holy Spirit reminded me of an old saying that I've heard my grandmother and other people say when it talks about your wants. And they say, you are old enough for your wants not to hurt. That's an old saying, and I hadn't heard it in a long time. The Holy Spirit spoke that in my spirit. We have to get to a place of maturity that what we want, we have to let go. We are old enough for your wants. Now, when we were a little kid and we said, I want this and I want that, and mama, I want this. And they used to tell you, well, you're old enough for your wants not to hurt. You are mature enough to understand that what you want is not what I want, and what I want for you is best. You're old enough for your wants not to hurt. And I kind of chuckled a little bit because I hadn't heard that in a while. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Another thing is, thy will be done. And he gave me Matthew 6:10. And you can turn to if you want, or you can mark it down. But it simply says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Now, growing up, when we quoted it, we said that kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the Bible says in earth, it's here, already deep down. It's here. And God gave me a question that you can ask on your own. So, and the question is, it's not your will, it's his work working in you on earth. That's the first thing needed. It's not your will, it's his will. It's always been his will, but it's working with you on earth. And the question is, does your will on earth matches his will in heaven? Is the will that you are doing here on earth, does your earthly work line up with what God is doing in heaven? Does your earthly will, because it's his work on earth, does your earthly will line up with what God is doing in heaven? Bishop told us, I think, the other Sunday, there's no sickness in heaven. His work is his plan. Are we lining up with what he wants us to do? Or do we doing what we want? And bring you back to the theme of the lesson. You have to do what you don't want to do. You have to do what you don't want to do. Another thing that I realized and I saw when Jesus was there in the garden praying, it was after he prayed, the Bible says that the angels came and ministered unto him. They came and they ministered unto him. They gave him strength. Because you have to remember, you have to allow the strength of God to come in for the work. And it says, and there appeared, this is verse 43, an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. When we decided, finally grab hold of doing what God wants us to do, and we lay it before God and we pray, he gives us the strength to do it. But it only works if we pray. He only gives us the strength if we allow him to give us the strength. And there's another thing that God showed me with Peter. And I'm a try to go over it right quick. And it says that you must give God in prayer. And verse 40 says this. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Mm-hmm. Verse 45 says, and when he rose from the prayer and was come up to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Verse 47 said, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he spake, he said, behold, the multitude had that he was called Judas, one of the disciples, went before him and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Now that was the Luke version. John tells us who cut the ear off. It was Peter who cut the ear off. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, if they would have prayed like they would have prayed, Peter wouldn't have picked up the sword. And I never thought about it that way until the Holy Spirit spoke to me that he said, if they would have prayed like Jesus was asking them to pray, they would have knew that everything was going to be all right, that this was something that's supposed to happen, and let it be. But because they did not pray like Jesus was telling them to pray. Watch out for temptation. Pray until watch out for temptation. So you won't enter into temptation. Do we pray enough that we won't enter into temptation? Or do we just say a little, Father, we bless you. Thank you, God. Amen. But Jesus was trying to get them, if you pray until God enters in, you won't have enter into temptation. But because they fell asleep and won't pray them up, when the trouble they saw come, Peter went into battle mode. He went into fight mode and he pulled out the sword and cut the ears off of the priest. And Jesus put the ear back on. Now I can go into the John part of it when they first walked up to him and they asked him, "We looking for Jesus?" And he said, "I am he," and they all fell back. That should have been enough to see the power that Jesus had. But their mind was, "I must protect Jesus," because they had a conversation earlier in this, and like I said, you can read the 22nd chapter. They had a conversation earlier of Jesus telling Peter to protect my sheep and feed my sheep. And he was thinking, if I have a weapon on me and I pull out the knife and I'm protecting you, Jesus. I'm doing all this. And you don't realize that Jesus was praying because it was prophesied that none of them was going to see harm during that night. But Peter put the whole plan in danger. He put the whole work that Jesus had worked hard for in danger, because they could have retaliated and killed them all that night. But it wasn't God's plan. His plan was for Jesus to go and die. But because we have to understand things that when we, in our mindset, when we want to do certain things, Peter didn't do what he's supposed to do. He did what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. And when we have to be in our senses and in our mindset that we have to do what God wants us to do, we have to have a heart for God, knowing what he wants. So here, even now, me standing here, in a sense, doing something that I don't want to do. But I know the call and the plan that God had put on my life for it, and I'm here. I'm here just like everyone here that's listening and watching me. You have a choice to do what God is calling you to do, or you can continue to do what you want to do. But the thing is, if you continue to do what you want to do, it's going to fall and fail comparison to what God wants us to do. Because I'm not going to be one of those pastors or preachers to tell you that sin wasn't good sometimes. You can pull my coattail or sit me down. Some things were pleasurable and we enjoyed doing. All sin wasn't bad. I know some people did. It was bad. It was horrible, you know. You enjoyed doing it while you're doing it. That's why you did it. If you loved drinking and you was hanging out with your friends and stuff, you enjoyed doing it, you did it. But that's not what God wants you to do. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. If you continue to do certain things that you want to do, it will ruin and destroy your life. You know, we got the young people now who are, you know, smoking weed and all of this stuff, and I see them in the school and they just looking all horrible and terrible, but they feel like they're enjoying life. This is what I want to do. But it's not good, because they're doing what they want to do instead of what God is calling them to do. And we have a issue of, I feel like I want to do this because this is what I want to do and not what God wanted to do. And growing up in church, in old school church, I felt like being saved was boring back in the day. Because that's how they put it out for us. Being saved and living for God was boring. All they did was go to church and go home. That's all they did. You couldn't go back and I'm not that old, but I was raised in the old school church of the former pastor, and you couldn't go to the movies. If you snuck to the movies, they found out, or there were certain things you couldn't do. They'll talk about you and whether they sit you down in the church. And I remember the former pastor, Ella Davis, at my church. You know, my mom, she always used to sneak us out. We went to the movies and stuff like that. But it was a certain things you couldn't do. And I understood what the sanction was coming from, but it was almost like, I don't want to be saved. I can't do nothing. Pastor's always preaching, you can't do this, you can't do that. What can I do? That's how I got in trouble a lot. Yeah, going on. I didn't get in trouble because I was trying to be disrespectful. I got in trouble because I asked questions. But what can I do? You're telling me I can't do this. You're telling me I can't do this. You're telling me I got to give up this. You can't do that. And all you're telling me is live holy, live a sanctified life. Be one thing used to get on my nerves. And y'all, please understand where I'm coming from. That you sanctify, you separate, you meet for the master's use. That's all they used to tell me back in the day. You know, sanctify, separated, meet for the master's use. And I said, what does that mean? That's all y'all tell us. Be saved, be sanctified, be separated, meet for the master's use. Now, I understand that means that be ready and able to do what God called you to do. Be ready and willing, a willing vessel that God can use, go through you and use you as he pleases. But that's all they taught. That's all they taught. I was talking to my brother in Japan. He called me Friday, 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't realize I didn't get off the video call until 2 o'clock in the morning. But we talked about certain things, and he was telling me, well, the main reason why I called you is because there's certain things that I'm about to do. And he gave me the list of it, and I'm like, yeah, this sounds good. But then he told me, here's the thing. He said, there was something that I didn't want to do, and I've been fighting it for a while. And God told me to go ahead and do it. And so I decided to go ahead and do it. So I called the person, and he said, as soon as I did what God told me to do, God showed me how to do this certain thing. And he said, all this time that was wasted fighting or trying to figure certain things out, all this time that was wasted because I didn't want to submit to what God wanted me to do. And as soon as I submitted and did his will and did what he wanted me to do, then all of a sudden he gave me the key. He gave me the answer on how to handle this situation. And I realized that we live in our lives a whole lot because we fight against what God is calling us to do. And we fight against sometimes the word that God has placed in us to do. And we don't really want to do it. And then we try to figure it out on our own. And we try to do certain things on our own. But once we submit unto God, and once we do what God called us to do, he instantly opened doors for us. He instantly made ways for us. But we have to do what we don't want to do, and that is submit unto God's word. Bishop has been telling us for a while about the having faith in Jesus' name and having faith in the blood, and he's going to talk about Tuesday about faith in the word. There's a reason why he's bringing that unto us. There's a reason why he's letting us know, because there's something that we are not doing. There's something, and I'm talking about myself, there's something that we are not doing. We're doing our own thing, but we're not doing what God is calling us to do, what God wants us to do, and what God is desiring us to do. So here is Jesus knowing that he's going to die, knowing that he is his time now. It's his time. And the Bible really doesn't say he was 33, but they base it off of his when he became a teacher, which is normally in the Jewish custom when he was 30 years old. And his ministry was 30, well, his ministry was 3 years. So they know around about the 33 years. So after the teaching of 3 years, because their mindset was he's gonna be here for a while, their mindset was he's about to establish a kingdom here on earth and he's gonna take over what's going on and he's about to be the king that he's gonna restore David's kingdom here on earth. And so their mindset, they hadn't grasped it yet. So they wanted to see that. So here is the thing. When what happens is not what you expect to happen. What happens when Jesus get arrested? And this whole entire time, you thinking that this, he said he was the Messiah. He said he was going to free us, but now he's arrested. So now we have Peter following him. You can continue to read in the chapter from behind, and people ask him, you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You one of his disciples? No, I'm not. Your voice, the way you speak, you sound just like him. No, I'm not. Denying, because his mindset was, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to deal with this heartache and this pain. I don't want to deal with what my family's going through. I don't want to deal with certain things that I learned from my family. I talked to another family member earlier this week, and they were saying, why is my child like this? Why is my child like this? They grown, but why are they like this? Why is all of this drama going on? Why are they like this? And sometimes we got to realize we got to give it to God and let God handle it. When we put ourselves in the way, we get messed up. When we go by our own wants and our own feelings, we sometimes prolong the actions. But God says, pray for them. God says, put them before the altar. Are we doing that? Or are we just always complaining? God, God, this and God, that my child, this is my child, that. Put them before the altar. Put them before the altar. Sometimes we have to go through things that we just don't want to go through. And that's part of life. That's a part of God's will for our plan. He suffered, and he told us that we are going to suffer. We don't want to go through that. We don't want to deal with the suffering. We don't want to deal with that. And coming from a, talking to the young people, they definitely think they have time. I saw a notification yesterday that one of my cousin's friend, one of my cousin Dominique's friends, they was at an event Saturday, and he collapsed, and they. He's young. I think he's in his early 30s. And read the messages, he had a stroke. He's gonna be in the hospital for a long time. That way they say he got a long recovery. Early 30s, I think he's about maybe 31, 32 years old. At an event, music event, playing, singing. I think I might have met him when he was at my brother's church singing. Had a stroke. So we think we have time. We think that our lives are ours. Our lives never been ours. Never been ours. We think it is. We got all these plans, but our lives have never been ours. They have always been planned out by God. But the issue is, we don't want to follow His plan. We don't want to follow His way. So most of the stuff that we go through in our lives is because we rebelled against what God has planned for us. Most of the things we want to blame God, we do want to blame God for certain things that happen in our lives. But most of the time, the things that happen in our lives because we didn't listen. We didn't listen to God's will. We didn't listen to God's plan. We didn't listen to our family. We didn't listen to our parents. When our parents told you don't go out with that person. That person ain't no good for you. Don't hang out with that person. That person ain't no good for you. And now here you go, 9 months later, in drama. Because we didn't listen. And then the first thing we want to say is, God, why did you let this happen? Because you did what you wanted to do except what God wants you to do. And sometimes, like I said before, you have to do what you don't want to do. Especially in a sinful and fleshly state. You have to say, no, I don't, I want to. But that was my issue when I was younger. I want to, but I can't. My will is only going to get me in trouble. My plans are only temporary, but they can have lasting issues, cause and effect. So God is an example, even here through Jesus, that when he prepares us for something, we have to give up something, have to give up our lives, our mental lives, our sometimes our physical lives, but we have to give up ourselves to go and do what God has completed us to do. Because his will for us and his plan for us is greater than we can imagine. You see, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And just because you think you're living your life to the fullest, that you're working on that and you have everything that you want, it doesn't mean anything. I told you for Christ when I had to teach the lesson before them on last Sunday, that you have to make time for God. You have to prepare and make time to study and get into his word. Because a 24-hour period go by real fast when you're busy and doing a whole lot of your want stuff. Even though we had a whole extra day this year, already gone, already passed, a whole extra day this year. What did we do that day? We had a whole extra day. And did we waste it? Did we waste it? Or did we give God up that day? I joked around with my boss, and I told him, I said, I don't understand. I said, when they give us this extra day every 4 years, the whole world need to be off. They need to be a vacation day. Why are we here working? Give us a day. You're giving us an extra day. Give us an extra day to relax and rest. But we had a whole extra day that we don't waste it already. It's already March. Whole extra day, and we wasted it. Are we doing what God is telling us to do? Or are we doing what we want to do? Are we getting upset because things in our life are not working to our plans and our actions? Or are we just saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done? The whole thing for this year, for NAFCOG, is to basically seek God's face, seek him while he may be found. And certain things I was thinking God was putting in my spirit this year, he said, I'm calling basically you this year to basically, he said, kill the tide, go against the grain, change the outcomes of certain things. Because right now, if I watch all these videos of churches and what they teach and what they preaching now, it's sad. And God said that there's a generation that's still, they're going to go against the grain. They're going to go against this now new age teaching. New age thing is all right to do whatever you want to do in church, and God's still going to save you and send you to heaven when you die. It's all right to do this and do that, and God's going to still send you to heaven. It is this time out now, these new people, the pastors sleeping around with everybody, and the people in the congregation saying this okay. He's being transparent. I could deal with a pastor like that because he's transparent, because he's dealing with some of the same issues I'm dealing with. So I can follow him because he's transparent. This stuff I've heard. Because he's transparent, and all these other pastors out there who are preaching against it, y'all hypocrites because y'all got stuff in the closet too. No. But that's the mindset of the world. That's the mindset of the people now. That's the mindset of the saints now in the churches. I've heard that. Oh, he's transparent. I could deal with that pastor because he being transparent with his life. Because he has the issue and he's sleeping around with all the women in the church, but I could deal with him because he's being real with himself. That's the teachings now. That's the teaching. I'm not lying. I bet if I ask some of them young people right now to unmute themselves who have seen it, they can verify what I'm saying. That's the thing now. Clubbing in the church, and it's all right. New Year's Eve, the church services. One girl posted online, she said, I'm not going to go to the club this year. I'm going to go to the church. She went to a certain pastor church. I ain't going to get into it. But then she messaged, she said, I should just went to the club. Should have just went to the club. Because they doing what they want to do in church instead of what God is telling them to do in church. When you tell them the wages of sin is death now, they look at you funny. Everybody, not I don't take all that no more. Pastors, you know, you don't understand my issues. You don't understand my struggle because you got all this stuff in your closet and don't know you ain't let nobody see it. No. No. Oh, it's okay to cuss now. I heard, this is another thing I heard. Everybody cuss. My grandmama cusses. She goes to the church. She one of the mothers in the church and she cuss. Everybody cuss. You might don't cuss out loud, but when you at home, you cuss everybody. I said, no. Everybody's not like that. But this is stuff I'm hearing from saved folk, from church folks. From saved church folks. This is the new church. This is the new ways of church now. This is the new things of church. It's all right to be the same, do the same, act the same. And you better not tell me that I'm wrong. That's the way it's going on now. I know y'all don't see it because y'all in a hole in this Pentecostal apostolic church. But that's the things now that I see and I hear online. And somebody, mother brought it up earlier. A pastor was singing and she told the saints, don't sing behind me. that mask worked for you. That's why I was don't sing behind me because God's using me. God's using me. Don't you think we in church now? Don't you think God using me? I'm ministering. God using me. What? That don't make no sense. But that's how the churches is now. And they have all the congregants. Their churches are blooming and prospering. And they have everything that they need. If they need another building, they have it just like that. Because they're doing what they want to do instead of what God has placed in them to do. And then the pastor said that so and so many people got saved that night when you playing club music in the church. How many people got saved in your church that night? But one thing I have always learned, what you do to keep them, what you do to get them, that's what you got to do to keep them. And if you're not feeding them with the word, you're feeding them with junk, they go get a tummy ache. They're not having the wholesome words. So I hear just to tell y'all that you have to do what you don't want to do. You have to give up yourself. You have to give up your time. You have to give up your will. You have to give up your way. To submit unto God, it is not hard. It's not hard. I'm going to be transparent and say they want to say it like that with you. It don't have to be that hard. Because one thing I always ask God is I don't want to be one of the people that tell you what you can't do. Let me show them how to do it, how to live, that you can have fun. That's one thing my Alvin always told me. I didn't realize you could enjoy yourself and be saved. I can tell you that you can enjoy yourself and still be holy. You can still go out and have fun and still be holy. That's just my MO. This is how I work. But you also have to remember who you are all the time, where you are all the time. Do what God is calling you to do and watch what he'll do in your life. Watch the doors here open. Watch the way I've seen it for myself. I got a phone call this week. I've seen it for myself. What God would do when you submit unto his will, when you do what his work is. Jesus had to die for us to live. He had to go through, even though the man side of him didn't take this cup from me. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through this. But God, not my will, but thy will be done. It may, and I'm not going to tell you tonight, sometimes it's not going to hurt. I'm not going to tell you sometimes that you're not going to be up at night praying and laying before God when you want to go to sleep and want to go to bed. I'm not going to say that sometimes that, you know, you're not going to get no phone call and people not going to be acting like they done lost their mind. But God desired for us to do his will. Bishop said that Tuesday night, he said, I was thinking about canceling Bible study. So I was thinking about canceling Bible study because I didn't have all everybody who was going to be there in the services. He said, the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do it, because it's up to the people to get the word out. Something that we got to do. Something we got to do. He called me the other week and asked me, I was thinking about canceling the Bible study. I guess he was looking for my answer. And I didn't really give him one for several reasons. I didn't give him one because I was going to tell him, well, what did God tell you? But I didn't say that because I didn't want to be sounding disrespectful or anything like that. But he was I heard in his voice that he was reaching for an answer. He was reaching for an answer, and I deliberately did not give him one because I could have said, yeah, this was one of them long days. I'm ready to go to bed. I'm ready to go to bed. Some of them long days, I'm in the bed by 6:30. I try to watch world news tonight, but sometimes I know I'm asleep before they finish. Most of the time I'm up 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, but some of them long days, I'm like, oh, I tell Bella, I say, you do what you got to do right now, because I'm going to bed. So I would say, the flesh part of me was like, yeah, I'm going to cut the TV on, I'm listening to the world news tonight, like, dun, 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 I'm out. But I heard in his voice, he was reaching for an answer, but I didn't give him one, so he said, I'm like, I'm going to pray. And I said, yeah, that's what you do. I was about to tell him, what did God tell you? What did God tell you? God told you to do it, do it. Sometimes we get to do this. Sometimes, and I'm not saying that you don't call people for advice. Don't call people to get an answer. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But what is God telling you to do? What God's placing in your heart to do? What God's placing in your mind to do? Because we could have counseled last Tuesday. But he said it's for us to get this word out. It's for you to, what you heard today, to go let somebody else know that you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what God wants you to do. It's for you, us, to get it out. They quit. Like, I remember growing up, what did the pastor preach about? I don't know, but the music was good. We got our dance on. Oh, Dominique or Linda or Lance, they really played that organ. They had that organ talking. Brother MC used to tell me that all the time. Well, you had that organ talking today. Yeah, that's nice. Nice. And I actually miss playing the organ sometimes, but I don't have one. My fingers get itchy every once in a while, but that's not the main thing. That's not the main thing. Even if I go to New St. Mark, this if God will or not, but my main thing ain't, okay, I'm going to go down there and play the organ now. Help ministry. God, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? And that's the job. To go back and tell people what thus says the Lord. Go back and tell them. And I know this ain't one of them preachy ones and pulling my ear and all of that stuff. But the main thing is, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we giving up what God wants us to do? In our hearts, are we living for God? Are we doing what he has called us to do? Are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we interceding for people? Or are we just talking about, like I told the Youth for Christ that too. I told him, I said, what kind of blogger are you? Are you one of them bloggers online that always talking about somebody? Always downing it on them? Or are you praying for them? Are you talking about them? Are you in the seat of form, or are you always saying, I don't like what Bishop got on today. That don't look right. That don't look right. He shouldn't have wore that today. He know he shouldn't have had that on. Did we do that? Because I know for a fact I've seen church. I've been in church my whole life. I can tell you some stuff. Don't let them go out to eat now. Don't let them go eat. They're going to replay the whole service while they're out there eating from beginning to end. And that note that Mother Vicky hit was, I don't know why she sung that song. I don't know why she did that. She should have let somebody else do it. She should have, why did they get up and testify like that? They know better than that. Are we uplifting? That's not uplifting. That's not uplifting. Sometimes we have to, again, say nothing and do what God's calling us to do. That's the message on the day. I know it's not a jumping up and everybody getting out there, but that what God gave me. You have to do what you don't want to do. That's it. Have to do what you don't want to do. And you know what God is calling you to do, and you know you're fighting it, and you know you're going against it, but you still have to do it. That's the issue with Jonah. Yes. The whole issue with Jonah. He could have missed that whole well experience and almost died. But have to do what God wants us to do. That's the whole thing. Whole thing. When I know what I'm supposed to do and I don't do it, it's an issue. Now I'm talking about myself. When I know I'm supposed to pray, know I'm supposed to fast, know I'm supposed to lay the saints and the members before God, and I don't. That's an issue. God brought back up to my memories a couple of weeks ago the death issue thing, the sermon. It might be, Paul always told me there's a part two of that somewhere. It might be a part two down the road, I don't know yet. But Pastor Paul always told me, he said, you not finished that message. There's a part two somewhere. The death issue. There's a death issue in us. And the death issue is not a physical thing. The death issue is that we are not willing to give up ourselves and do what God has placed us to do. The death issue is, I want this. I want it now. What that old J.G. Ruff word is, my money and I want it now. This is my flesh, this is my will, and I want to do it now, regardless of what someone says, regardless of what somebody does. This is me, and this is what I want to do. The consequences could come later. I remember I was in high school music class, and we had to learn how to play a song, and I didn't practice that song or nothing. I didn't practice the song. I can't remember what song it was. I didn't, for my music theory class. And when it was my turn, I looked at the teacher and told her, and I asked her, I started singing, give me my E now, give me my E. Because the whole thing was, I did not practice like I was, and the consequences was, I'm gonna get an E for that grade. In that particular mind, me being young, I didn't care. I didn't care how it affected my grade. I didn't care that I could have failed that class. I couldn't care that it could have messed up my GPA. No, that's not, because I did not do what I was supposed to do. And I knew I was supposed to practice and learn that song and learn how to read the sheet music. I used to read sheet music. Now it's kind of, because I ain't did it in a while. And do all of that, and I didn't do it. And when it was my turn, I just looked at the teacher and just started saying, give me my E now. Don't waste your time. Don't waste all of that. Go ahead and put the E in the book, because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. This is how we live our lives now. When we know what we're supposed to do, when we know what God's calling us to do, when God tells us to do certain things and we don't do it, and then when the consequences come, you go, let's give me my E now. Give me my E now. But the world is saying, even though I don't do it, God's still going to love me. He's going to still put me in heaven anyway. What are we doing? That's a literal and general question. What are we doing? What are we doing? Now, I'm talking about Faith Temple. I'm just talking about in the world. What are we doing? Are we doing what God called us to do? Are we just living our lives, whatever? And we just expect God just to put us in heaven with crowns and robes, and we're going to shout. You hear them people say that the streets are paved with gold, and I'm going to shout all day long. And it's no. What are we doing? What are we doing? I'll tell you what we know. We're not doing what we don't want to do. That's the only thing I can tell you what we're doing. We're not doing what we don't want to do. We're doing what we want to do. And like God just reminded me, you're old enough for your wants, not the hurt. You're old enough, you're mature enough in this word. Now, I know that we have some young people, young saints, some people like that, who are learning. I understand that. And God is using Bishop and all that to teach them and prepare them and learning and earning the word. I understand all of that. But even with that, you're old enough to know.
Right.
There ain't no excuse. You're old enough to know. Even a 5-year-old know what they're doing wrong, and they know what they're doing right. There's never been an excuse. Because a 5-year-old know where, because they get sneaky. They get sneaky and they go around. And they, I've seen it with myself. When they want something, and they know that I can't get it while you're in, as soon as you leave, they start seeing if you're there. Now, it's not obvious to them. They can see it. That we can see what they're doing, but it's not obvious to them, but they're sneaky with it. Are they gone? So they know. They know right from wrong. They know what they don't supposed to be doing. And they know what they supposed to do. So they ain't no excuse. You know, even Bella know, my dog, what she's supposed to do and what she don't supposed to do. She know. Even when she's around the house, she knows she don't go in my bedroom. She knows she get there, she stop. She don't go in the office. She knows she don't go in the kitchen. She know. And she definitely don't go in the bathroom, because that time I tried to get her a bath, she had to fit, so she definitely don't want to go in there. But she know where she's supposed to be, and she know what she do. She knows. So that ain't an excuse. The thing is doing what you don't want to do. And that's submitting unto God, submitting unto his will, and doing what he has called you to do. That's the message for today. I'm going to give it out of hand to our pastor. But if you just want to get to know God a little bit more, get to know him better, and you saying to yourself that maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And I just want to make sure I'm getting right with God. This opportunity now, all you have to do is say, Father, forgive me. Father, save me. I believe that your son died on the cross for me. And I believe that you will save me, and I'm asking you to come into my heart. Huh? Do that now in Jesus' name. That's it. Simple. That's be in contact. There's Bishop. There's other people. He will get in contact with me if need so. If you have any questions, any concerns, any answers. But that's it. You have to do what you don't want to do. You have to submit unto God. And now it's in the hands of Bishop.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for a word. You got to do what you don't want to do. Amen. And key things, he said, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek God. Amen. The prayer is for for temptation, so you don't be given into temptation or temptation overtake you. If you look through the word, you'll find that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. He went to them and told them, sit here and pray. And the Bible said he went a little further. He took John, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee and took three with him. And he got a little further and he told them to pray. And he went a little further and prayed. Amen. It looked like he got all the people that came with him, hallelujah, couldn't continue with him when he got to his destination to pray. Amen. So you got to pray, saints, so you don't enter into temptation. That's going to cause you to be able to go and do what God called you to do. Amen. Amen. So there's a lot of things that we don't want to do, and we think that's wrong. I'm scared to do it. I guess that's just a secret word that I won't witness to people because I don't, because they ain't going to accept me, or people won't be my friends. Well, you pray first, you get the boldness to go and tell people about salvation. Jesus, that's all God asks us to be a witness for him. Tell people about the great salvation that you have. Tell, and if you don't have it, get a hold of this salvation. Man, it opens up. Praise God. I ain't going to preach behind the elder. But I just tell you, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to be, your friends ain't going to be able to hang with you. You're going to have to go a little further and pray. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. But if there's any kind of way this can go, that I don't have to drink this cup, but thy will be done. And that's the mold thing. Thy will be done. Praise God. Amen. We thank God. Now we're going to prepare ourselves to take our Holy Communion as they get the things ready. We're going to try to do it while Elder Wright is going to serve here, and I'm going to have it so I can serve to you on the Zoom. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the scripture. The scripture I'm reading is coming out of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Father, we thank you one more time, Lord, as we come here, Lord, we ask you now, you touch these elements. You touch the bread. You touch the wine. You touch it, Lord, and let it be transferred into the body of our Lord Jesus and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do this in remembrance of you, Father. Father God, we ask you now to search our hearts as we ask you forgiveness of our sins, God. Forgive us of our transgressions. Forgive us of our iniquities. Oh, Father, we want to take this worthily, Father God, and not unworthily. Oh, Lord, we ask you to do it right now. Forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name. God, let them take this knowing that they have been washed in the blood, knowing that this is the body that was taken sacrifice for them that they could have life, Father God. Hallelujah. And we have a new blood, new testament in his blood, Father God, that gives us life, that gives us kind of victory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless right now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yeah, you can go ahead.
See the body and the blood.
As you have your element, saints, take this is the bread to represent the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for you. Take and eat. Take this juice, amen, representing the blood of the New Testament in the New Testament for you to have life, to cleanse our sins, Father. Ah, take and drink, saints. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that you have gotten something out of the message. Like I always say, if you haven't, amen, you can always give us a call. Always can put something on the internet. Amen. And we'll try to answer your questions or try to give you some answer. Amen.